Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, known as the 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is October the 25th, 2024, or it is the 23rd day of Bull, 2028. We will start our first service today with a continuation of our study. The title of it would be Yahweh makes it his battle axe. Rome, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. Peter Hall, track 8. Okay. We're going to do a little review coming into this study for today, of our last study. We're going to do the last paragraph of the last page that we give on our last study. And it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou, David, must go to be with thy father, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy son, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee. 1 Chronicles 17:11-13. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. Well, to the righteous, he makes the kingdom his place and protection. To the heathen, Yahweh makes it his battle axe. That's the title of our sermon today. Yahweh makes it his battle axe. Thou art my battle axe, and weapons of war, declares Yeshua. And the foreshadowing unto the posterity of Jacob, their ultimate destiny. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the shirt and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husband and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers, Jeremiah 51:20-23. For the stone, Daniel 2:45, Zechariah 3:9, with the 144,000, Revelation 14:1, cut out of the mountain, the Seventh-day Adventist Latter Day Saint Church, without the hand, without the human help, is to break the nation, as symbolized by the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold of the great image, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, that it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, Daniel 2:44. But upon the Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And with that Mount Zion, 12th hour, and there shall be holiness, and the house of the Jacob shall possess that possession, and the house of the Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for the stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. There shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Asher has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistine, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zephath, and the captivity of the Yarushim, which is in Shepherd, which is in the Shepherd, shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors, 144,000, shall come upon the Mount Zion for the judging of the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yahshua's. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be delivered, for in the Mount Zion and in the Yerushalayim shall be the deliverance, as Yahshua has said. And in the remnant whom Yahshua shall call, Obadiah 1:17-21, Joel 2:32. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted, Isaiah 6:12. From the foregoing scriptures, we see that as a result of the rejecting of the truth proclaimed by the church, the wicked go to destruction and coming. And echoing this prophetic pronouncement of their doom, Yahshua declares, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter. Shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, Revelation 2:26-27. He that overcometh, being the one who is to rule the nation with the rod, have I. And the need and the work of the overcome being not his, but his followers. For the truth is obvious that the Yahshua will have a virtuous nation, a victorious nation, a kingdom through which he will manifest his great power, and which shall be a kingdom of peace. A kingdom of peace is our next subtitle on page 65. That a heaven like safety and peace shall infuse a kingdom at the time that the Yahshua shall use it as his battle axe. which wish to smite the nation is evidenced by the following scriptures. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, where it says, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the second child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy at all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Asher as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11:69. When the state of the knowledge and peace prevail in the kingdom, then that day, in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. Consequently, it is in the probationary time. In that day, that sure shall sit his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people. Isaiah 11:10-11. Page 66. Let's do just a little review. When this state of the knowledge and peace prevails in the kingdom, then in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek. Consequently, it is in the probationary time, and in that day the Yeshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people. Isaiah 11:10-11. And in that day, says the Yeshua, through the prophet Hosea, in a reiteration of his covenant of peace, will I make a covenant with Will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely. Hosea 2:18. For a detailed treatment of the Hosea's chapters 1 and 2, read our track number 4, The Latest News from Mother. As in the Noah's Ark, the type, so in the anatypical Ark, the kingdom, nothing shall hurt or destroy, for the lion, the wolf, the lamb, the leopard, the calf, and the fatling shall live peaceably together, and like the ox, all shall feed on the straw. Thus now, as in the Noah's time, Yahweh shall preserve a remnant of the man and beast out of his whole creation, instead of the exterminating in every living thing, and then creating them all over again. Recognizing this fact, the Apostle Paul said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of Yahweh. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of the Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our body. Romans 8:19-23. And he will destroy in this mountain this kingdom of the peace, says Isaiah, the face of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Yahshua has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, the day in which the Yahshua wipes away the tears from the faces of all his people, lo, this is our Yahweh, or this is our Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, we have waited for thee, him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua, we have awaited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for in this mountain shall the hand of Yahshua rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill, Isaiah 25:7-10. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity, Isaiah 33:24. Bless the Yahweh, O my soul, exalt David, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Yahshua, O my soul. And forget not all thy benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from the destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with the good thing, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalms 103:1-5, for the further study of the subject of the continuation of life, see our tract number 5, final warning, 63-65, revised edition, 1940. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. And I will bring them again to place them, for I will have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Yahshua, their Savior, and will hear them. And they of the Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice through the wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Yahshua. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in the far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of the Gilead and Lebanon, and place that shall not be found for them. I should say, and a place shall be found for them, and he shall pass through the sea with the affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away, and I will strengthen them in the Asherah, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Asherah, Zechariah 10:6-12, unfallen assurance that ours is the supreme privilege to let Yahweh reign, let the Asherah, the son of Yahweh, reign over us. For centuries, Yahshua's followers have prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now that the time has come for the prayer to be fulfilled, let us live out our prayers, that lest any of us be found among the unfaithful class with whom Yahshua concludes the following parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country for the receiving for himself of a kingdom and for the returning. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, and to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Master, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thine authority over 10 cities. And the servant came saying, Master, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Luke 19:12-27. For the certain nobleman in this parable is Yahshua himself, who soon after his resurrection departed to the heaven of heavens, a far country, to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His 10 servants here are to occupy till his coming represents manifestly a ministry at the closing of the gospel dispensation, and his citizens accordingly represent the laity, the subjects of his kingdom. Together then, his servants and his citizens make up his entire kingdom, a church. And they sent a message up to him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. The only conclusion admissible is that shortly before his return, Yahshua shall inform his citizens that he has taken the reins in his own hand to set up his kingdom, and that they, upon hearing the announcement, shall refuse to submit themselves unto the one through whom he is to rule. Observe that in the message which they sent after him, his servants did not say, we will not have you to reign over us, but rather we will not have this man to reign over us. What they objected to was Yahshua reigning over them through someone else. Clearly then, before he is coronated, and prior unto his return to reckon with his servant, he appoints a man to reign over them in his stead. Whereupon they say unto him, by their attitude and stand toward his message, we will not have this man to reign over us. Although this man, as we now see, is the antitypical David, the simple man, the visible king. That's when Yahshua returns and reckons with his servant. He rewards the faithful ones in the proportion as they have increased the principle with which they started, but condemns those who have had no burden for the work, for the working for the soul and for the advancing of his kingdom, and who have been content for the letting him do without their services. For this unfaithfulness, he takes from them the pound, the light of the truth, with which he had entrusted them, showing thereby that all are to be held responsible for every ray of the light, for every lost moment, for every neglected opportunity, and those who will not have him thus reign over them shall, at his return, be slain before him, as were those who rebelled against the Yahweh's government in the olden time. For the Jews at the Yahshua's first advent, misunderstanding his mission, because they were blind as to what their message, the ceremonial service taught, and as to what the prophet wrote concerning him, misconstrued his doctrine of the kingdom, duly coveting the fruition of the long-held hope of the kingdom. They were upset by the Yahshua's strange teaching and were ready to stone him to death rather than to have their errors exposed before the multitude of whom except in the darkness. So it is with the church today. She is as blind to the message of the hour and to the truth of Yahshua's kingdom as were the Jews and their days. And as the message knocked at her door with the warning, her answer is, "Go thy way, I am rich, and increase with the goods, and have need of nothing." Though she is wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. For the church of Yahshua's day was determined to have the kingdom set up then. For not all was yet ready for it. The church of today is determined not to have it now, when the end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7, when the time is fully come, the Jews wanted back the kingdom which they had lost, a kingdom of sin and sinners. They were eager to be freed from the Roman bondage only instead of from sin and sinners. Also consequently, when Yahshua said, "My kingdom is not of this world," John 18:36, they will not have it so, whereas the church today, blindly ignoring the scripture, was plainly declared that Yahweh is now to set up his spotless kingdom and is to free his people, not from the Babylonish bondage only, but from the sin and sinners also, is determined to put it off until after the millennium. Such is the ironic perversity of the nation, of the natural heart, even in the very face of the fact that in every way she is seen on the very verge of eternity, in her purified state, is our next subtitle. In one of his grandest prophecies, Isaiah projects in the lineaments unmistakable, the great antitypical counterpart of the Exodus movement. "There shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." Isaiah 11:16. As the Passover and the slaughter of the firstborn, first fruit, who had not the blood on the doorpost, released Yahweh's ancient people from the bondage of Egypt, so shall the antitypical Passover, Ezekiel 9:4, Isaiah 66:16, free the first fruits, the 144,000, and firstborn now from the bondage of the sin and sinners today. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. And that sure shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst of by the spirit of the judgment and by the spirit of the burning. And that sure will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion upon the assembly, a cloud and a smoke by the day, and the shine of a flaming fire by the night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle, for a shelter in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of the refuge, and for a covert from the storm, and from then, Isaiah 4 through the 6th, for a more detailed exposition of the Exodus movement and the type and antitype, read the Shepherd God, Volume 1, page 64 to 111. In the light of the present truth concerning the kingdom, the following prophecy, along with the numerous other relevant prophecies, is self-interpreting. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy diligence. For garments, O Yerushalayim, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down for, on thy throne, O Yerushalayim. Loose thyself from the man wrought bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith Yahshua, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Yahshua, son of Yahweh. My people went down a fourth time into Egypt, to sojourn there. And the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Yahshua, that my people is taken away for naught? For they that rule over them, and make them to howl, saith the Yahshua, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, that Yahweh reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice together, shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of the Jerusalem. For the Yahshua hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed the Jerusalem as the tribe of Judah, his lawgiver, the house of David. The Yahshua hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yahweh. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Yahweh, for ye shall not go out with the haste, nor go by the flight, for that sure will go before you, and the Yahshua of Israel will be your reward. Behold, thy servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the son of men. So shall he separate many nations, for the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Isaiah 52:1-15. Seeing ourselves on the brink of the eternity, we are in peril for the joining with the Elder James White, in his enraptured exclamation, Oh, glory, hallelujah, my poor heart is set on fire for the kingdom. While I dwell on this sweet prospect before the true believer, if we hold fast but a few more days, the dark shades of the night will vanish before the glory of the preparatory scenes of the coming of the Son of Man. A word of the little flock, page 8. Only those who have a part in this antitypical Exodus movement will be privileged to sing the song of the Moses and the Lamb, and to share in the promises of the covenant and the antitype. Okay, we're going into our next subtitle, the covenant and the antitype. Behold, the days come, saith Yeshua, that I will make a new covenant with the house of the Israel and with the house of the Judah, not according unto the covenant that I made with their father in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahshua. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahshua. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahshua. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:31-34. For the old covenant, our agreement between the Yahweh and his people, was based upon the promises of both parties to witness, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Yahshua, thy Savior, to observe and to do all of his commandments. That's Leviticus 23:1-44. That's all of Yahshua's commandments, which I command thee this day, that Yahshua, thy Savior, will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahshua, thy Savior. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out, for the Yahshua shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, for they shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. For the Yahshua shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all that thou sittest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which Yahshua thy Savior giveth thee. The Yahshua shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahshua, thy Savior, and walk in his way. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahshua has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Yahshua, Deuteronomy 28:1-9, Exodus 19:8. For the first covenant reaches from the time it was ordained unto the imminent and final ingathering of the 12 tribes as a kingdom. And yet, though never invalidated by the Yahweh, its validity has been persistently negated by the New Testament church, and its sanctity violated by both the Old and the New Testament church until this very day. So, as the people are failing their promise, have broken Yahweh's commandments, they thereby also have broken the covenant that Yahweh made with their father. But in the new covenant, which Yahshua is now about to fulfill, the commandments of the Yahweh, Exodus 21:17, unlike in the old, will not be written on the tables of stone, Exodus 31:18, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. And at that time, all shall know the Yahshua, that's the Son of Yahweh, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, Jeremiah 31:34. Exhibiting a church without terrors. This campaign, which is about to take place in the second covenant, and his law being written on the heart, will be perfectly kept. Then and not before will the blessing which his ancient people failed to receive be fully realized. For Jeremiah also bearing witness that this promised covenant has not yet been fulfilled, but that it is to be honored now in the gathering time declared. Thus speaketh the Yahshua of the whole of the Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book, for lo, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahshua, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. Jeremiah 32:3. These verses show vividly that Yahweh is to validate the second covenant when he brings his people again from their captivity, while subsequent verses fix the time of this liberation or ingathering, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahshua the host, that I will break his yoke from off thine earth, and I will burst thy bond, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahshua their Savior, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them, Jeremiah 30:8-9. For this prophecy, we observe, did not meet its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from their captivity and the ancient Babylon, because at that time Yahweh did not raise up David their king. They did not, in fact, have any king at all of their own, but were under a Medo-Persia ruler The prophecy therefore can be applied to no other time than today, when both Israel and Judah shall be joined into the one great kingdom, established in the everlasting righteousness. Then they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says Yahshua. Consequently, the fact that there has never been a time from the day that this scripture was written even unto the present day, that every one of Yahweh's people as a church or a nation has known the Yahshua and kept his commandments, again proves that the fulfillment of the second covenant, of which the Exodus movement was a type, is yet future. How long, said Yahshua, wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For Yahshua has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Jeremiah 31:22. This woman must be symbolical, for no one person can possibly encompass another. She must, for this reason, be a symbol of the church. And the man must be the Yahshua, who shall at that time have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, purified the church, as their forefather testimony, volume 5, page 8, then will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her, and will dwell in the midst of her, Zechariah 2, 5, and 11. Though many variously raise their voices against the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, establishing the seed of Israel as a righteous and a holy nation, free from the sinners, they shall fail to overthrow the plans of Him who giveth the sun for a light by the day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by the night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. For the Yahshua of the host, the Son of Yahweh, is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Yahshua, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Yahshua, if the heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth stretched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says Yahshua, Jeremiah 31:35-37. As the promises are made only unto Israel, the seed of Abraham, the original vine which has been trodden down, this vine must therefore be raised up, then the penitent Gentiles, by the virtue of the adoption into the Yahshua, shall be grafted into it, and only thus become of the planting of the Yahshua. I say then, has Yahweh cast away his people? Yahweh forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. For Yahweh hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession unto Yahweh against Israel, saying, Yahweh, that sure they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Yahweh unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, At this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by the grace, then it is no more of the works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But it, if it be of the works, then it is no more a grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. But then, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for us. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest are blinded. According as it is written, Yahweh hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Yahweh forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for they provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke unto emulation them which are my flesh, and much, and save some of them. For if the chastening away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit, the Jew, be holy, the lump, Jew and Gentile, is also holy. And if the root, the Jew, be holy, so are the branches, whether they be original or grafted in. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, that is the Gentile tree, what grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root, and fatness of the good olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou Gentile bearest not the root, but the root is the Jew. Thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the New and Living Way. This brings in verse 10, this hour contact is at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. We'll close now.
Railway to Heaven.
Not this life, a mountain railroad, with an engineer that's great. We must make the run successful, from the cradle to the grave. Bust the curves that fill the tunnel, never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle, and your eye upon the rail. blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Hurry, reach that blissful shore, for the angels wait to join us in the praise forevermore. You alone, the praise of triumph, you will cross the bridge of strife. See the Yahshua is your conductor on this light in chain of life. Always mind full of obstruction, do your duty never fail. Keep your hand upon the soul, your eye upon the rim. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us. Hear me, reach that blissful shore. For the angels wait to join us in the praise forevermore. He will often find obstruction, the first storms and wind and rain. Gonna fill a curve or trestle, they will almost ditch your train. Put your trust alone in Yahshua, never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle, and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us, till we reach that blissful shore. The angels that teach on us in our praise forevermore. As you roll across the trestle, spanning Jordan's swelling tide, do you behold the Union Depot into which your train will glide? You'll meet the superintendent, Yahweh the Father with the Son. With the hearty joyous plaudit, welcome pilgrim, welcome home. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us, help me reach that blissful shore. For the angels wait to join us in our praise.